Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Dankabarty, Jack Dish, and Ryan Huang with you on Why It Matters today. Social media, it's taken over the world. And at a rate we've never really seen before.
Yeah. I mean, do you remember the days of Friendster?
I
was never on Friendster.
You were never on. Okay.
But I was aware of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was on it. Yeah.
And then there was MySpace.
I was on it too.
Yeah. And then there was Facebook. I think I leapfrogged to Facebook. Mm. Now it's known as Meta. Don't forget TikTok. Social media, I'm sure, has been a huge part of each one of our lives at some point. Yeah.
I think I still have my login to my MySpace page. I got some good friends there.
Is it still on, you think?
I don't know. I don't even know if it's still alive.
It doesn't exist anymore, man.
But you don't want to miss a chance to engage with the public. And we've seen ministry bodies and ministers in Singapore, they become very active on such platforms. But you start to wonder how effective has it really been?
Yeah. Well, Amplify recently released their Singapore Government Performance Benchmark for last year, and the report highlighted how our 50 statutory boards and 16 ministries leveraged leading social media channels over the past year or so. So I'm really looking forward to finding out how exactly they have done. Have they really made an impact? And how, of course, Asia's social ad spend as a whole grown in the last quarter of last year?
Let's find out more from Varun Sharma, who is Vice President APAC in Japan for Amplify. Varun, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm well. Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot for chatting with us. Should be quite interesting talking about this. I suppose to set some context, I mean, what exactly does Amplify do? What else can you tell us about it and perhaps its business model, how you guys help brands?
So Amplify is a SaaS-based unified CX platform which brings marketing, commerce, and care under a single umbrella.
Thing is, there are many such companies today. How are you setting yourself apart from all the other CX firms?
To be honest, yes, there are multiple companies in the CX space, but from Amplify's perspective, what we do is we put our customers first. We deliver empathy to the customers of our brands and help amplify their brands. So from a solution perspective, it's the CX Cloud, which brings the marketing, commerce, and care together to close the CX gap for those brands.
Mm, okay, so let's talk about the opportunities that you see available in this space. I mean, obviously, we're seeing a lot of brands collaborating with CX partners. This is increasing, right?
Absolutely. And to be honest, the overall knowledge of CX in the region is just beginning. It's just evolving. And brands are realizing that they need to provide a seamless customer experience to their end customers. And providing a seamless customer experience will drive a longer customer lifetime value, as well as drive a lot more customer engagement with the brand. In my view, the CX space is the new battleground for all brands.
What are the most common mistakes you see people making in the CX space at this point?
I would say they get confused between what is customer experience and what is customer engagement. Mm-hmm. So to be honest, it's the customer experience space where it is more about providing the ammunition to all your audience with the right tools, the right technology, as well as being able to provide them with an experience where they will drive a lot more customer engagement. Those are the aspects which the brands need to focus on, and those are the pitfalls they need to cater to.
Right. Can you draw a relation with regard to that in terms of consumer behavior and how it's changed since the pandemic?
Absolutely. Consumer behavior is evolving, and the pandemic has actually accelerated the change in their behavior. With their behavior changing, what's happened is the brands realize the digital-first approach is the right way to go. And with the digital-first approach, it has accelerated brands to drive the digital transformation, where brands are looking at providing a seamless customer experience to drive great customer engagement across all social channels. In a world where social media is the first stop to engage with a brand, it offers brands an opportunity to evolve the overall marketing by offering consumers with a commerce and a care functionality as well.
Could you give me a specific example of a mistake that customers often make when it comes to designing a customer experience for their clients that ultimately ends up scuppering the engagement portion of it?
Absolutely. And one of the biggest mistakes which most a lot of brands can make is by not defining a customer journey. And that's where it becomes extremely key that brands look at the customer journey. And that customer journey can be mapped by understanding where the consumers are going across different channels. And based on their channels, what is the kind of content they're looking at? And what is the kind of content you would like to deliver to them? So if the customer journey is disjointed, then you won't be able to provide that seamless customer experience.
All right. We are on the line this morning with Varun Sharma, who is Vice President APEC in Japan at Amplify. Varun, let's get into something fun here. The Singapore Government Performance Benchmark 2021 Year in Review. You guys released this recently. I suppose let's start off by, you know, talking about the aim of this study.
The aim of the study was more to provide in terms of on how the Singapore government is in, I would say, connecting with its audience. And we did the same thing in 2020. We did the same thing for 2021. It is to provide in terms of finding out how is the audience engaging with the Singapore government.
And what did you find out? Give us some of the key insights there.
There was a significant shift in the trend of interactions in 2020 by the main ministries, whereas when it came to 2021, that remained fairly evenly distributed between the statutory boards and the main ministries. And there was a 12.7% growth in interactions on Instagram, which where the total interactions were totaling into up to 1.69 million compared to 1.51 million. And I think so, based on all the details which we went through the report, it was clear that Instagram has become one of the most important channels to engage with a netizen, and it'll continue to, remain to do so.
I know. Minister Lawrence Wong recently did an Instagram reel full of transitions. I'm curious. I've got two questions. First one, I would like to know what are maybe the top three government body performers here in Singapore?
The top three would be the National Environment Agency. Okay. Secondly, the second would be Ministry of Health, not surprising, considering we're living in COVID rules, COVID times. And the third was the Ministry of Education.
Okay, taking away the second one, simply because of COVID and there's natural need to go and go to those sites and find out more. Now, let's talk about NEA, you say is the first one. How are they the top? Did they approach it where, like, I'm the customer and, you know, it's important for them to engage the customer?
I think so. It was more in terms of any trying to run campaigns, which were campaigns which resonated with the audience. They were environmental-friendly campaigns. And as soon as you start running those campaigns, the audience would engage with that particular body on the social channels.
How exactly are you measuring engagement? I have observed a tendency for companies and brands to not go very much beyond vanity metrics like likes and so on. So when you measure engagement, what exactly are you talking about?
It is the engagement rate is based on the amount of, I would say, interactions, which is happening with the content. It is just not about likes. It is more about the interaction, which is happening with the content and the content which is being shared. So I guess the metric which you mentioned about likes, that can be fairly static, but the way we have measured it is based on keeping different factors into consideration there.
You talked about Instagram being the number one performer. I mean, there are a lot of things involved here, like the time of posting as well. Is there an insight as to the kind of demographics that are engaging via Instagram? Are they reaching their right audience?
I guess the demographics is one aspect. And talking of demographics, I think so. The aspect which we also got, I guess, discovered through the report was it was just not the content, but also the user-generated content, which was driving a lot of audience engagement. The third aspect was that the static content, people are moving away from static content. Mm. Across the public sector, there was a lot of leverage across video platforms, such as YouTube as well, to deliver a more impactful campaign.
You've got to create the conditions, right, to encourage user-generated content. Give us some tips on that.
User-generated content is more in terms of, I guess, it depends on how users are relating to different brands. In this scenario, it's the Ministry of Education, or Ministry of Health, or National Environmental Agency. It is about basically creating content which will resonate with the end audience. And I think so, a lot depends on the content which is generated not only by the ministries, but also by the audience. So that it's all about having a overall view about it and being able to deliver that kind of content from a user perspective.
They're probably still going to stick with Instagram for a while more as Instagram continues to change the algorithms. For you personally, where do you expect these ministries to go? How do you expect them to evolve as far as social media engagement is concerned moving forward?
I think so. They will continue to evolve. I think so they'll go on to the next level. Right now, it's more about content. It's about delivering the right messaging to the audience. But I think so they may go on to the next level, which is not only looking at Instagram as a channel, but I think so they will want to go to a different channel, the likes of TikTok, to be able to connect with a wider audience, because there'll be a different demographics which will associate, which they'll be able to relate to. And also, the government will also try and probably look into AI and chatbots to enhance that customer experience across these social channels.
I've seen a lot of brands as well as government agencies make simplistic assumptions about their audiences. I mean, for instance, they'll use the word relatable as a blanket term, as if audiences are homogenous. I mean, you forget sometimes that you actually have to define who you want to relate to and how, because even within demographic segments, there are differences, right? Not all young people are the same. Not all old people are the same. Psychographics plays a huge part. So what's your advice in terms of shaping that message? While we know all the avenues, what about shaping that message? Often government agencies might also be criticized for being inauthentic or trying too hard, you know, trying too hard to be cool, but falling flat. What's your advice on that front? Actually shaping a message that will resonate and improve the customer experience.
I believe the old rule of trial and test would always stay. And that's something which the government should do. They should release different content for different audiences across different channels. So the audience which is probably engaging with them on Facebook might be very different to the audience which might be there on Instagram, as well as TikTok or Snap. So they need to have that different levels of content being delivered across those different channels to keep the audiences engaged and to provide that seamless customer experience for those demographics.
Let's get into the final portion of our conversation this morning. It's got something to do with social commerce trends. Could you tell us a little bit about this?
Absolutely. So social commerce is a massive trend, which is basically, I guess, captured the whole CX space. So we all know what is e-commerce. Social commerce is more the aspect of where brands are looking at creating shops on their social channels, which is basically on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, the likes of Snap, Pinterest, so on and so forth. And what they are looking at doing that is primarily because as a brand, you're advertising, you're spending a lot of money on marketing. And what they would like to do is they would like to basically make sure once they have captured the eyeball of a potential consumer, that results in a sale fairly immediately. And that's where social commerce is basically bridging that gap.
How might social commerce also be enhanced by something you mentioned earlier, which is AI and chatbots? I'm sure that these two will come together, right?
Absolutely. I think so. They go in hand because to provide a frictionless shopping experience, to provide, I would say, to be able to reach customers in places that matter, the role of social self-service and social care will play a key role. That's where chatbots actually come in. And apart from that, another aspect which would actually drive a lot of engagement on social commerce would be live commerce.
I do wonder, though, with all of this, I mean, it sounds exciting, but surely it comes with potential challenges. Could trust be one of those issues?
Trust could potentially be one of those issues, but if you're engaging with a brand on a social channel and if you've been engaging with that brand for the longest time, I think so that trust element would not be a big challenge. It would be for a new user who's engaging with a brand where that trust element needs to be bridged.
Moving forward, Varun, what exactly should brands and even government agencies and governments in general be preparing for in terms of anticipating where audiences might go next?
I would say governments or brands in general need to basically look into a holistic picture where what is customer experience for them? And are they engaging with the right audience at the right place? And if they are not doing that, they need to make sure that they map their customer journeys. They need to be able to cater to their needs from a marketing perspective, from a commerce perspective, from a care perspective, and most importantly, the care element. Because once you basically providing that care element, what you're trying to do is build that loyalty and that stickiness with that particular brand. So I would say they need to look into those different elements.
We've been speaking with Varun Sharma, who is Vice President APEC in Japan at Amplify. I appreciate your time this morning. You take care and stay safe, yeah?
Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.